Welcome back, Kantians, to the I Can't Even podcast. I'm your host, Lakota. On today's episode of Shoot the Shit Sunday, I am joined by a good buddy of mine, Connor Donahue. I hope you guys enjoy.
Coors Banquet, brewed in the Rockies.
And we are live. Welcome, Connor Donahue.
Thanks, Lakota. It's good to be here.
I'm actually really excited to have you on because out of everyone that was in our small team last year, I think you and I hit it off the most, being that I wasn't really part of a member of the church, right? It was hard for me to connect with everybody.
Yeah, we definitely, like looking back on it, like we definitely had some really good times.
Yeah, absolutely. So did you graduate this semester or last?
Yeah, pretty much this semester. I just have one online class that I'm finishing up right now, but I mean, I'm technically done, so I'm counting it.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks, man.
And yeah, absolutely. And from what I remember, you studied epidemiology, correct?
That's right. Yep. Studied public health with emphasis in epidemiology. A lot of people don't know what that is. It's basically studying diseases, cancer, you know, kind of like pandemics, like what we're going through now. So it was definitely interesting. It was challenging for sure, but I'm glad to be done.
What put you onto epidemiology? Because I feel like that's not something that people go, you know what? I want to study things that make people sick and like things that spread, especially with your emphasis in public health. Your education is primarily surrounded by what, like the emphasis on preventing the spread, correct? Like helping people.
For sure. Yeah. So, I mean, it all started with, I guess, my passion with like healthcare. I've always been someone who's been passionate about, you know, mainly gerontology, like elderly people, like their lifestyles, their habits, you know, what happens to their brain when they reach a certain age. That kind of like sparked my interest with going down like the epidemiology route with school. And, you know, we have a great program here at BYU. So it's been, it was awesome. You know, I have no regrets taking that. And even if I don't even end up doing that, but it was a good experience for the most part.
I hear you. And so you're finishing up this semester. What online class are you doing?
Yeah. So right now I'm just finishing up a political science class, something that I'm sure you would love to do for me.
yeah, I have my fair share of poli-sci studies.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a bunch of essays. That's all it is.
Yep, and reading and writing.
I know you with your history, with your book writing, and you know, I could probably get some pointers from you.
Well, and what I studied in school, which most of my listeners know by now, is philosophy with an emphasis in ethical theory, and so. Primarily, I just read a bunch of dead people's work and theorized on it and applied it to modern times. My poli-sci courses actually were the most boring classes I ever took.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they weren't that interesting. Like reading the Federalist Papers and stuff like that. Like, I mean, it's cool, I guess, but yeah, I actually had no personal interest in it. Now, when we got to like Kant and Hume and Aristotle and stuff like that, that was my jam.
I'm still lost with like all of that. I guess that's like the whole point of like, you know, when you go into like a deep discussion with people about like their interests, like their hobbies, like you could love something that you're totally passionate about. And then me on the other hand, it's like, okay, well, I have no care, like no desire in the world to ever, you know, take a deep dive with that subject. You know what I mean? like everyone has their own like thing that they're like passionate about.
Oh yeah. I mean, even my wife, April, she hates reading. Whereas like this week alone, I've digested 4 books on my 5th one.
Jeez. How's April doing, by the way?
She's doing really well. She is still in nursing school. Well, finishing her, I guess her associates, and then applying to the nursing program down here. So yeah, she's doing really well. Taking care of old people and kids for work.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, well, she's doing really well.
Yeah. That's good to hear. And how are the ferrets doing?
The ferrets are fine. They're sleeping right behind me. I have this whole like new studio set up in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're actually really quiet right now, which is nice for a change. Usually when I'm recording, they're like scratching and wanting to get out because they see that I'm in the room.
Yeah.
Like playtime.
I think I can still smell them from over here.
Oh, without a doubt. It actually transfers through the microphone into your headphones and then to your olfactory glands.
Mm-hmm.
So how's Morgan doing?
She's good. She's just working right now at hospitals. And right now it's kind of like a crazy time, as you can imagine. But I mean, she enjoys it. It's fun for her.
That's good. And well, speaking of like COVID, right? Let's just like dive into that. What do you think of all this? I mean, from what you've studied, I mean, I don't know if you'd call yourself an expert, right? That usually takes many, many years of studying one subject. But getting an undergraduate degree in epidemiology, especially with an emphasis in public health, gives you a little bit more insight on how this entire world is reacting to it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. And for me, it's like, it's pretty different than what my teachers think. Like, I'm sure my teachers are kind of like going crazy right now with like everything going on. Like, you know, they obviously knew what was going to happen when it first started like being announced and, you know, discovered. And then you have me on the other hand where, you know, I'm not worried about it like at all. Kind of like a laid back person who, you know, for me, it's something that I think the media kind of, you know, hypes up a lot. Like, although it is true, like it is out there, like I do believe it, you know, 100% like does exist. But, you know, on the other hand, we have the media, which plays a way bigger role in getting us all like confused and we start, you know, freaking out. But, you know, I think it's something that if you just do the precautions and do what you're supposed to do, you're going to be fine. You know,
I think most people are going to be fine.
Yeah. Like if you're sick, just stay inside. You know, I don't really wear masks. You know, I'm for sure not one of those guys who drives with a mask on, you know, no offense to whoever does, but sometimes I see that and I'm like, I don't know if that makes sense.
It doesn't. And so I don't know if you know, but I left Vivint. Maybe I told you that, but I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. And I believe I just got hired by Border Patrol. So I finally just finished that like 3-month process.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Thanks, man. I'm really, really excited. I'm waiting for the training facility to open up so I can report to duty in New Mexico.
Yeah,
that's still closed down.
How far away are you from the border?
Oh, I'm like a stone throw away from the border. since I left Vivint, you know, the whole COVID thing kind of threw a wrench in the whole door-to-door program.
For sure.
Period.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it wasn't until maybe a few weeks ago that teams actually went out to summer, or just a couple weeks ago. And so during that time, I was like, you know, I got to do something. So I started working at Domino's. Never thought in my life I'd work in fast food. Ever.
Yeah, but it's totally fine.
Yeah, I mean, it pays the bills.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
Right. And but I see it all the time where people wear masks in their car, and I have to wear one because I'm in the food industry. But as soon as I get in the car, I take that damn thing off because it's just, first of all, it's just, besides the fact of it being ridiculous and like not doing you any good, you're in your car, you're isolated. But It's so uncomfortable to wear those things all day.
Yeah. Well, dude, I suffer from like full on, like I'm totally claustrophobic. And
oh my goodness.
We went to Costco. Like, yeah, we went to Costco today. And like I said earlier, like I'm not a guy who, you know, goes out and wears a mask because, you know, I feel like I'm already doing my own personal measures to be safe and, you know, don't touch my face after going in the store, you know, put hand sanitizer on, like do everything you're supposed to be doing. But, you know, like when I do, like I said, we did go to Costco today and they did make you wear, they do make you wear masks. And, you know, Morgan and I, we didn't have any at the time. And so they gave us some for free, which was pretty nice. But the whole time in Costco, I'm like wearing that thing. And in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I can't breathe. Like this thing's like miserable. Like, I just need to get out of here. You know, like the go in and get out like really quick.
Yeah. I've been wearing those, like all day and I've been working 10 or 12 hour days.
Yeah.
Until just recently it's finally like Laredo's opening up. So we're finally able to like go into a restaurant, which we just did yesterday.
Oh, it's so nice, huh?
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, Utah's all like starting to be open as well. I think the majority of the restaurants here, you're able to dine in, which is nice. I think they're going to start opening up like clubhouses and pools and all that.
Well, I predict here in the next 3 or 4 weeks, everything's going to be 100% capacity again. The gyms are finally opening up. They opened up this week and they have this, I'm switching gyms. So I was working out at Planet Fitness for the longest time because I was planning for summer. Like I'm not going to get a gym membership when I know I'm going to be traveling a lot and Planet Fitnesses are everywhere.
Yeah, they
but
are.
Now I can go to what I call a real gym, where it has like real barbells and stuff like that. And I can get away from the Smith machine. Well, I'm going to be going to, you have to wear gloves. You have to wear full latex gloves.
Oh, no way.
Work out. Dude, dead ass serious. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Your hands are going to be dripping.
Oh, like within the first 10 minutes of me squatting. Yeah. Like it's going to be ridiculous. And, but thinking about it from like just a practical perspective, it doesn't make any damn sense. For me to wear gloves, like who does that protect? Protect me? I'm not in danger, right? I mean, gyms are disgusting as it is, right? I mean, if you go to a gym, you understand that people's ass sweat is going to be on the bench, right? Mm-hmm. Like just wipe it, like just wipe it off. I don't
have some common courtesy, you know?
Yeah, I mean the gyms are filthy as it is before COVID. Right. And me wearing gloves is just going to help spread it more while I'm still working out. Like that's not going to do anything. Latex gloves don't kill germs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know, man. It's ridiculous. I know a lot of people are excited to get out of this whole like self quarantine, era.
Yeah, I know. I know a lot of people are just looking forward to like having these new like precautions, like permanent, like for example, like, when you meet someone, don't shake their hand or like don't give them a hug, like random stuff like that. I know people are looking forward to that as well. Like I mean, for me, I don't care at all about that. But one thing I was talking to my buddy about, we feel like the whole coronavirus, like the COVID testing, is going to be a full on. Like once they do, you know, find the vaccine, get that available for everyone, it's going to be like a thing you have to take every year. Kind of like the flu shot, you know, you're going to have to take, you know, your flu shot and your corona shot once a year.
Yeah. Well, without a doubt.
Like that's going to be like the new norm probably. Cause you know,
it's going to come back. It's going to mutate and come back.
Yeah. It's going to come back and there's always going to be someone who has it. Same thing like the flu. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, one day, we have these many cases and the next day, you know, no one has it. Like that's not going to happen.
No, and you can't eradicate a whole virus like that. I mean, it takes years and years and years, decades of studying to even like understand how it's mutating.
Yeah,
right? And like what it's going to mutate into the next season.
What's crazy is, like, I'm from California. Like, California is like going crazy right now, which I totally understand. You know, like where my parents are coming from and all of that. But I heard that like the reports are blown like way out of, you know, projection, meaning like someone will get hit by a car and they'll label it as like coronavirus, or someone will have a heart attack and they'll put the cause as like coronavirus. It's like, oh, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, Joe Rogan had someone on that was talking about that. And I guess what happens is if you have the symptoms of corona, right, which could reflect anything, right? Yep. I mean,
could be 100 different
really
things.
Don't know. Yeah. And, but if you reflect the same symptoms, then you're going to be marked as a death of COVID, which related to COVID, which doesn't make any sense as far as A, informing the populace of like the real data.
Yeah.
Right. It inflates the numbers far too much for practical sake. And it doesn't allow, you know, public health facilities or agencies like our government to properly respond when they have these inflated data. I know Dan Crenshaw was just on Joe Rogan talking about Houston. I mean, he's a congressman from Texas on the Republican side. And he goes, I don't know why people are talking about like our hospitals are full capacity and they're like overloaded. All of our hospitals are under 30% capacity.
Yeah.
Now that also may be because they're now allocating, they're reallocating most of the facilities towards, you know, prevention and treatment of COVID patients. But, you know, because you can't get an elective surgery right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they're not doing any open chest surgeries in most facilities, unless it's an emergency. So that could also explain that. But I agree with that. And I've always said this, that the panic was worse than the virus this whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, period. I mean, and media has to sell something that's going to stick, that's going to get viewers, get ratings.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's fear inducing, people are going to stay tuned because they want to be informed. Well, now we know that they're not properly being informed. Like the numbers don't even add up, even with the inflated numbers.
Yeah. See, I think there's a lot less cases than they actually say there are.
I believe it. Like as far as deaths go.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there's some, I think Sweden's doing this, and I think a lot of countries have followed suit where they've never closed anything down. Right. And they just said, there's nothing mandated. It just says, hey, if you have pre-existing conditions that have weakened your immune system, right, you should probably stay home. Right. If you're elderly and you have a weak immune system, you should probably stay home.
Yeah.
That's it. Right.
I mean, we've been hearing that for years.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just common sense. Like if you're going to go hang out with grandma, wash your damn hands, make sure you didn't like, you know, sneeze on them or anything like that. And if you're sick, don't visit grandma. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, it's commonsensical, but again, you know, people want something exciting. A pandemic is exciting. And yes, this was, you know, a decently serious pandemic, but it wasn't anything to be like, okay, let's hunker down and, you know, just not talk to anyone.
Yeah. Like,
don't touch anyone. Don't go around anyone. You know, we can't survive on that.
Yeah. One thing that's crazy to think is, you know, I think everyone, well, I mean, I'm sure there's some countries who, I guess, maybe not know, like, what's going on. But I feel like for the most part, like, every single person, like, the majority of everyone, like, in the whole entire, like, world's population can relate to what we're going through, which is pretty crazy. It's a crazy thought, you know?
Oh, yeah. Everyone that went shelter in place.
Everyone can relate to what we're going through. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was a way for the world to be brought together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, the crazy thing is that something like this is going to happen again and probably won't be in our lifetime. Right.
Yeah.
And we definitely could have done a better job at preventing the spread a little bit more. Right. Mm-hmm. If people just had decent habits. You know, I think America got hit so hard because look at the standard American diet, look at the standard American, right? Most of us are dying from heart disease related deaths, diabetes, obesity in general.
Yeah. Right?
And we all know that all three of those weaken your immune system, period. right? Mm-hmm. Your body is not at optimum health to fight off germs and bacteria and viruses, right? So I hope that this is a wake-up call. And I think it was in Laredo, because Laredo has a high diabetes rate because it's a standard Mexican-American diet, which is, in some, like, in many cases, worse than the standard American diet.
Yeah.
Because now you're mixing two standard diets that just really aren't health-oriented, right? They're taste-oriented, or they're like salt and fat-oriented. And it was really bad. But when it first started, I remember Tay and all of us were knocking doors. That's when they shut down Laredo. They shut down Laredo like halfway through knocking.
Oh, wow. Really?
Oh, dude, it was horrible. I had my worst week on the doors. And I'm not like an amazing salesman as it is, but I knocked so hard. I've never worked so hard in a week to only sell one account.
And, jeez.
Bro, people weren't opening the door. People didn't want to talk to me. People were so scared.
Yeah.
Because the media was like, this is serious. This is serious. Like, don't talk to anybody. Don't touch anyone. Don't go outside. Yada, yada, yada. And then they put a mandated shelter in place. I think it was Thursday evening. I didn't even know.
Yeah, I think it was like the second week of March, or like first week of March or something, when they started like closing down everything.
Mm-hmm. And when Laredo did that, all of a sudden I started seeing, not from knocking doors, but just from being out and about, people that, you know, don't run on a normal basis are now jogging or walking, right? Everyone and their cousin is. Everyone's working out at home. I've never seen so many home gyms in my life. I'm actually waiting until people start selling that in the marketplace, because I'm going to snatch up a whole gym for like under $1,000.
Going on walks is like the new norm.
Yeah.
Like take a 20-minute lunch break, you know, and just go on a walk with your wife. Like that's like the big thing right now. And it's a great thing.
It's a great thing. It's good habits. And I hope if COVID and like our response to it as a country has taught anyone anything, is that you have terrible habits.
Yeah. Take care of yourself.
Most people have terrible habits. Yeah. And just do stuff to optimize your health a little bit more, right? No one's going to be perfect, right? There's no such thing as a perfect specimen of a human being, right?
Yeah. That's
living right now. It doesn't exist, but you can do things to optimize your health, you know? So it's just insane. So yeah,
baby steps.
That's it. So you're finishing school soon. Are you working right now, or are you just full on study?
No. So I'm working full time right now. I'm doing software sales for the startup here in Utah.
What's it called?
It's called Guide CX.
Okay. What do you sell?
Yeah. So it's they focus on onboarding software. So a lot of companies, pretty much when they do acquire like a new customer, there's a process before that customer does go live. And that process is the onboarding implementation process. So some companies would take maybe, you know, 3 to 5 months, sometimes like 9 months, a year for that client to go live, because there's so many tasks that, you know, the client needs to do on their end in order to get up and paying.
Okay.
There's a lot of, you know, communication between, you know, the project managers, the client, and the project managers help the client get up and running smoothly. But, you know, that process is very tedious for some companies. So having a software that helps streamline it a little bit. So instead of your client going live in 5 months, you know, your client goes live in 3 months, bringing on, you know, more revenue for your company, brings in way bigger ROI than just letting the client do everything on their end, you know, without any help. Yeah. So that's a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a great platform, great software. It's definitely, you know, something that I wasn't used to.
Okay.
But yeah, we have a great team, a great company. There's only like 28, 30 employees. It's been way fun.
And so they're a startup. How long ago did they get going?
So they got going about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
So super new company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's which awesome. Is really exciting. It's great just because, you know, there's so many perks with starting with the startup. you know, I mean, yeah, it can be risky, but at the same time, it's, you know, there's so much energy inside the office. You're close with, you know, everyone in there, you're all growing together and there's so much potential.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. Have you learned anything from, like, you know, the CEO of the company, of like the leaders that are above you?
Yeah, no, that's one thing that's cool too. You know, with a huge corporate company, for example, like Google, you'll never be like,
hang out.
Not like that. But here it's like, you know, with our weekly Monday, you know, stand-up meetings that we have with the whole entire company, like, it's just so fascinating to be able to see like the CEO and all the other like VPs, like, kind of like motivate the whole entire company and see how they're like lifting it up and, you know, just expanding, especially learning how to like adapt, especially, you know, in times like these where, you know, instead of, you know, hunkering down and playing it safe, we're actually, you know, going out guns blazing, expanding like crazy during this time. So, you know, fortunately, you know, I have a job and fortunately, you know, it's a good industry where we're not really hit that hard with COVID.
No, software and like, and client development is going to be something that will withstand time. Mm-hmm. As long as there's an internet, right?
Yeah.
Internet goes out, then yeah.
We're all screwed.
Yeah. We're all, there's, I may have already talked about this on the podcast, I think on one of my solo episodes, but, here in Laredo, it was probably a couple months ago, there was a total blackout, not on power, but on, data and Wi-Fi.
Oh, weird.
And so, yeah, AT&T, a cell tower went down, but then there was also, at the same time, something went wrong with Spectrum as well, who we have our Wi-Fi through. And it was, dude, I felt like I was like trapped. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't load anything. I don't have cable. I have YouTube TV as my cable. So I can't even stream that.
Oh, like, YouTube TV is the best.
Oh, it is. Unless your Wi-Fi goes out.
Yeah. No, it's like when you move into a brand new apartment or like a brand new home, mm-hmm. you know, the first mm-hmm. week of not having Wi-Fi, you always realize you're like you're kind of, you're a little bit embarrassed as well. You're like, oh wow, like I really depended, you know, on my phone, on my computer, on TV to keep me entertained.
Well, keep me entertained, but then also like cooking. Like I pull up new recipes online. Staying up to date with like stock market news or just news in general. Right. I think this world would look very, very different. And I think we'd be more culturally diverse than we are now if there was no internet that connected us to, you know, to a global market.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It'd be very, very different. It'd be very interesting. Cultures, like, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but like, a lot of like Air Force and Army dudes that get stationed in like Okinawa and Japan will come back with like, you know, cultural relics of their time there, right? Like a samurai sword or like Japanese writing art, stuff like that. Stuff that like reminds them of their time there.
Yeah.
Well, that would happen at a very slower pace, right? Because we wouldn't have access to it to that extent. Unless you did go visit there and stayed some time or someone brought it mm-hmm. to you. So, yeah, man, it's scary to think about. I we're definitely pampered here in 2020.
Yeah,
to be so.
Oh, dude, we have so many tools that just are in our reach that can just help us, you know, with any problem that we might be facing, whether it's like, I don't know, some sort of like mental health issue, or you know, you're wanting to start a business, you can find, or yeah, fix a car. Cook a meal, you can find all of that on the internet, you know,
mm-hmm. within seconds.
Yeah. And have you heard the whole crazy thing about how people think, you know, the 5G cell towers actually caused coronavirus?
Yeah. It's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I think it's actually a lot bigger in London. I think they actually like knocked down like 5G cell towers over there.
That's so ridiculous.
I think it's like 70 something of them.
Yeah, but like the tinfoil hat wearing like conspiracy theorists have been worried about internet signals and data signals for the longest time.
Yeah, it's like Y2K.
Yeah, exactly. And when the whole 5G thing launched, I'm like, look, I mean, obviously being connected, you know, to EMF signals all the time probably aren't good for you. I don't know. Right. I wear headphones when I sleep. And if you catch me at home, I'm probably wearing headphones, listening to something, an audiobook, a podcast.
Yeah, you are. I remember that. Every time I would come over, you'd always be, you know, having headphones on.
Always. And it's like some autistic thing that I do. I don't know why. It is just like, I like listening to something.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to drive April crazy. I think she's grown accustomed to it now. But it's just who I am. And I mean, who knows, right? By the time I hit 60 or 70, if I continue these kind of habits, I may have a brain cancer and I'll definitely be able to know where to point. Like if that happens, but there is no longitudinal study on the health effects of EMF signals or data signals or anything like that.
Like because Bluetooth. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just because no one's dying from it. Right. There's more pressing issues that are occurring. Right. And so, no, I think that's ridiculous. I've heard people talk about it on like podcasts and stuff like that, that like EMF or 5G and stuff like that were like causing health concerns and weakening people's immune systems. And that's why COVID spread. It's like, yeah. Okay, but then how do you explain how it's everywhere? 5G isn't everywhere.
I'm stoked on 5G. I think it's a good thing. I think my phone is way better.
I every time I go to Salt Lake City and I get on the 5G networks, I love it because it's instant. I don't have to wait for anything to load. We don't have that here in Laredo. Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
My phone actually, when I'm at work at the Domino's that I work at, the river that separates Mexico and Texas is right there. Like it's less than a quarter mile away. Like I look into Mexico from the windows of the storefront.
Wow.
It's crazy to think about how close I am. So being that close, my signals actually bounce off of Mexico's cell towers. So sometimes I'm in Mexico and because of my proximity, when I'm watching YouTube and a commercial comes on, it's like, I would say 70% of the time it's in Spanish. I'm like, well, this doesn't help me.
Well, it's like, it's like when we went to McAllen to go knock.
Uh-huh.
Like the majority of my sales in McAllen were all in Spanish.
Oh yeah. And just like down here too. Did you ever knock Laredo? You knocked Laredo, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, you missed out.
Oh, I've only heard good things of it though.
Yeah, Laredo's good. I definitely, the only regret I have during my time at Vivin is that I wasn't disciplined on the doors. I guess I had two, right? For my last 2 years, but then I wasn't disciplined during the off season. Cause that definitely would have made a difference in my numbers because down here people are buying year round.
Mm-hmm.
And Vivint's really easy to sell here in Laredo because the market is saturated with Vivint customers. So, yeah. But anyways, as far as your sales go, I'm assuming you're doing B2B, business to business. Are you cold calling? Are you going in and knocking, like going business to business to physical locations? How are you guys? I don't want to spend too much time on it, but just how does it reflect the difference between your time and experience doing door to door with Vivint, compared to what you're doing now?
Yeah. Well, door to door with Vivint, you know, I absolutely loved, like I could easily say like, I loved everything about it. Like we had such a good team, you know, meet such cool people, you know, there's such a good feeling leaving a home after you just sold them on, you know, a security system. And, you mm-hmm. know, it's such a cool product that, you know, I was actually pretty passionate about. That's why I can never do, well, that's why I never did pest control, you know?
Yeah, I was the same way. I was always like headhunted by solar pest control. Solar might be interesting, but pest control and then other alarm companies too.
Yeah, stuff.
I'm sorry.
Like, yeah. Like no matter like how many accounts you sell in the summer or like what your experience was like with Vivint, you know, at the end of the day, it was such a good, you know, moment in your life where you can put on your like life resume, you know?
Oh yeah. Without a
just
doubt.
Always progressing. Like that's the goal in life, to just always, like, you don't want to stay stagnant and, you know, have a plateau. You just always want to be, you know, progressing with, you know, your goals, your ambitions, your desires for the future. And I think Vivint is something that actually, you know, really helped shape who I am and, you know, give me great ambitions for the future and like not settle. So that transition from going from like door to door and speaking with like homeowners who, you know, depending on, you know, their income level or like their credit can be, you know, this huge emotional sale, and then transferring from that into the B2B world where, you know, I'm speaking on the phone with, you know, CEOs of million-dollar companies or multi-million dollar companies, you know, chief operating officers as well. So I'm speaking with a lot, I don't want to say like more intelligent, but a lot higher.
I would hope you would say that.
Yeah. Like,
I would hope you would say that. I mean, it's not easy being a CEO or a COO of a very successful company.
No. And these people don't, like, one thing I love about, like, they don't blow you off.
No, they're very front.
They they give you your time of day.
This is how it is. This is what I want. Yeah.
Exactly how it is. So going from door to door sales, which was awesome, you know, to B2B sales, it was obviously, you know, a learning curve at first. But then there's like so many tools, like I already talked about earlier, where, you know, I can, you know, prospect via, you know, LinkedIn, email outreaches, mutual connections with companies. You know, there's so many ways to, you know, get a good deal on the board, in the B2B world. So it's been, yeah, it's been fun. It's for sure, you know, something that was hard at first, but it's something I do enjoy right now.
If it wasn't hard, it wouldn't be challenging. And if it wasn't challenging, it wouldn't be fulfilling.
Exactly.
So, yeah. That's awesome, dude. I'm stoked to hear, like, come a year from now, how far you've progressed. I actually had a podcast episode about getting 1% better each day, right? Atomic Habits, James Clear. Just keep improving, right? Nobody changes overnight, right? Like, all my bad habits that I created before Vivint, and even some during Vivint, it took years to develop those. It took months. It took days, weeks to like create bad habits. It took equally as amount of time to create good habits. Right? Yeah, it's not a change overnight.
You know, I feel like at the end of the day, you know, every day you just need to, you know, think about what you did that day and, you know, ask yourself if you are like progressing, if you did what you wanted to, if you did what you want to like accomplish that day. And, you know, if you see yourself like not on that path that you want to be on, just make little changes, like what we were talking about earlier. Make little changes, redirect, figure out what's going on, and get back on the path.
Yep. I actually have, I don't know if you journal, but I journal occasionally. My goal for this year is just to be a lot more consistent with it. But I call it my Rose and Thorn journal. So each page, think of just like a lined piece of paper. I draw quadrants. So I have four quadrants where one is labeled rose or roses. The next one next to is thorns.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is daily tasks. The bottom one's gratitude. And then the one to the right of that on the bottom is goals, short-term and long-term, right? So the short-term is just, what do I need to get done today? Like, what are the basic things, right? Make my bed, work out, read, meditate, work. Right. Whatever it is that I need to do for that day, I make a list. And then as I accomplish those things, I cross them out for the satisfaction of completing them. But then right below it, I have five long-term goals. Right. And you can pick whatever those are, right? If you want it to be a year from now, 5 years from now, whatever they are. But I have those five long-term goals that I keep on there as a reminder of what I'm working for.
Yeah.
Right. What am I doing? Right. Cause I feel like you know, a lot of people, especially me, like I get super aspirational and then I kind of lose that momentum and I lose the gas to keep going with it because not because I still don't desire it, but because I've just lost sight of it, right? Life happens, things happen where they take more priority of your attention. But by looking at that on a daily or every other day basis, it reminds me, oh, this is my ultimate goal. This is what I'm working for this year, stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's like something that I think a lot of people could do.
Yeah, it's like you're manifesting.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way. I mean, I don't necessarily believe in, I don't know if like, you know, if you can envision it, you can do it or whatever the saying is, right?
Yeah.
The secret. Is that what it is? The secret.
Yeah, that's
you have it. You have to manifest it. You have to manifest it in your mind first. It's like, okay, yeah, but you also have to put in the work, right? That's like saying you can pray for what you desire. You could pray all day, every day, right? It doesn't mean you're going to attain what you desire, right? You still have to put in the work. You still have to put in the time. You have to grind.
That's so true. Praying
is only just going to remind you of what that goal is, right? So if you're praying every day or meditating on it, that's just going to remind you. And this is just another way of me reminding me, right?
Yeah, I think that's great what you do. And I think I need to do a lot better about, you know, journaling and kind of like meditating or like pondering on, you know, what I accomplished that day.
Yeah, that goes in the rose and thorns column.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't really specify that. Roses are like, what are the good things that happened today? And I do those at the end of the day, right? So that I have time to reflect before I meditate. And so I write down the roses, what happened today that was great, right? Or just good. What was positive? What was satisfying? And then my thorns is usually a much, much shorter list. It's like, okay, this is my shit list. Like what happened that was bad today or distasteful or something that negatively affected me or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that way, It's a physical reminder, like a physical manifestation that I can see, a visual of like, oh my goodness, my day was actually really good despite, you know, these couple of bad things that happened, right? Those are small things compared to like, look at all the positive things. And I think a lot of people forget that is that we tend to focus on these little small things. It just happened to me the other day, right? We tend to focus on these small things that happened that were bad. Instead of looking at all the great things that happened, even like a simple thing, like, you know, I held the door open for someone, right? That like needed help or, what's one thing that I've written down? The last time I was in Salt Lake City, for the home kickoff thing, there was a woman, I was at the mall. We were doing like a lunch break and I was eating McDonald's and this mom was like pushing a cart or, a buggy. And was trying to carry like two trays. I was like, ma'am, can I please help you? She goes, no, I'm fine. I'm like, no, ma'am, I insist. I insist on helping you because it looks like you're trying to juggle a lot. And I bet it'd be much easier if I just hold a tray for you. She goes, oh my goodness, yes. And we walked. I mean, now seeing where she walked, I mean, she walked like 100 feet away. It's like, no, this woman would have not gotten far
yeah.
by herself. You know, and it's just like... Yeah. And you look at those, it's like that outweighs any kind of bad little thing that could have happened that day. And so, I started doing this when I was knocking doors because we deal with a lot of rejection. And I'm so fortunate to be that I had that experience with a great company, great people, great leadership, and people that I can now call long-term friends. And the experience of just going door to door because it taught me how to handle rejection. Better than I ever knew in the past, like especially when I was single and I was dating, right? But I also struggled with like negativity compounding.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do, right? That goes along with that whole mental health thing. People don't just automatically get depressed. It happens because things are happening on their life that they feel like it's compounding on them and restricting them from whatever freedoms that they desire.
Yeah.
Well, if you can remind yourself on a daily basis of all the good things that happen, as little as they are, those will always outweigh the bad things that happen. So, yeah, I definitely recommend it. If you're looking at getting into journaling, I can send you like what it actually looks like. And, you know, you can start doing that. I mean, I'm not saying it's the only way, but it's definitely helped me
for sure.
I don't think I would have started this podcast without that kind of journaling, or started a CBD company without that kind of journaling, or made the hard decision to leave Vivint, which was a really tough decision, to pursue my, you know, not necessarily a passion of law enforcement, but just a passion of serving my country.
Yeah. Right? Well, I feel like, you know, kind of like to go off of what you're saying, like with your example of like helping out that lady, like, I feel like the majority of us, like for society in general, like we become so comfortable with where we're at in life that, you know, we don't go out of our way to help other people.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's just like feeding off of what you were saying. Like the only way to grow is to, you know, be uncomfortable for a little bit.
Oh yeah. I tell, I don't know how many people a day, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. One of my coworkers asked me, she goes, Lakota, can you teach me how to be a salesperson? I go, yeah, but it takes a lot of hard work. Right. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, you have to first be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Oh yeah.
Right? 'Cause you're going to talk to strangers, and success is found outside the comfort zone. Whatever you define success for your personal life, it's going to be out of that comfort zone, period. Because it's scary. If everyone was comfortable doing that, there would be a lot more billionaires in the world.
Like, yeah, that's so true.
Trust me.
Yeah, right? Take the
billionaires
risk.
Billionaires are just people that just find comfort in that risk, right? Whatever it is that they're super passionate about. And they become successful, right?
They make it work.
Yeah. Not saying that like being a billionaire is like the ultimate, like penultimate design of success, but
no,
you know, using that as an extreme example. Yeah. So anyways, you're going to be finishing school soon. Are you guys going to move back to California?
Yeah. So we, that's one thing that we really want to do. In the near future, you know, mm-hmm. just be home, be with everyone, you know, her family's back home, my family's back home within, you know, 40 minutes of each other.
Yeah.
And like, we're the only ones that are out of state from like all our siblings. So yeah, we definitely have a goal to, you know, go home and, you know, enjoy life out there and figure it out. Just
where exactly in California do they live?
So my wife, she's from, well, her family, they live in Huntington Beach, and my family, they live in San Clemente right now.
Okay.
It's South Orange County.
Yeah. How far away is that from San Diego?
It's like an hour away.
Oh, well, we it's might like be right, an hour away.
Yeah. It's someday. Like right in between, you know, San Diego and LA.
Okay. Yeah. 'Cause I, one of the duty stations for Border Patrol is down there in San Diego.
Camp Pendleton, right? Or
I'm not no, quite no, sure.
Yours
I'm,
is probably I'm, in Coronado.
Maybe. That sounds more familiar.
And, yeah, there's a big military base over there.
Yeah, and I can negotiate where my first duty station is going to be. And I believe, if I read correctly, it cannot be within 100 miles of your hometown, which Laredo's not even remotely close to my hometown. Like, that's Anchorage, Alaska is my hometown. So if we're being technical, I guess I could pick anywhere.
Yeah.
Including Laredo. And so, I was looking at like the only thing that like prevents me from wanting to be in San Diego is just the rent price. Like cost of living down there is exorbitantly high.
Yeah, and that's true.
Yeah. And Border Patrol is going to pay me well. I put in for a GS5 position, which is entry level for law enforcement. And they offered me the GS7 position, which is more of a leadership position.
That's awesome.
It comes with a really, yeah, thanks man. It comes with a really, really nice pay. And so, I'm like, well, I mean, technically we could afford it. Right, we could afford a really nice home in a nice neighborhood, but it wouldn't leave me much to do anything else.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're dealing with like survival.
You got to like start small and then work your way up.
Yeah. And we were looking at small apartments and still like, there was one that was 800 square feet, which is a decent size for an apartment, I guess. But the rent was like $1,800 a month. I'm like, good hell. What?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just so used to Laredo prices where it's like, okay, that might be $500 a month per equivalent size. But even in Anchorage, Alaska, where the cost of living is super high, it's still significantly lower than San Diego's prices. So that's the only thing. I mean, unless they pay me more or I can find like more of an affordable place down there.
Yeah. But there's nothing, I mean, that's just me though. Like there's nothing better than California.
Oh, I loved California. My parents lived in Vacaville for a little bit and, they didn't care for it too much. They loved the weather because there is just like basically between 50 and 70 degrees year round. Cause it's like the middle of California. Well, I guess it's kind of like more northern.
Yeah.
It was in between Sacramento and San Francisco. So they loved it up there as far as weather goes, but you know, I guess they're missing the East Coast. I don't know if I told you, but they moved to Pennsylvania last summer.
Oh, from Alaska?
No, from California. So they moved from Alaska down to California and they're in California for, I think, less than a year before my mom accepted a position back in Maryland. But they built their like dream home on a farm. There's this dude that owns a farm that's just selling off his land to developers.
Oh, that's cool.
And so they live in like this really, really small community, like this little small suburb, really nice homes, really nice area, but it's like kind of isolated. So it's like a 20-minute drive towards, you know, anything, where that's where they prefer. I mean, they just prefer to be a little bit more isolated, have more privacy, have more land. So yeah, they're super stoked.
Good for them. That's awesome.
Yeah. But when I was in California, I loved it. I was like, I was only there for a week, but it was stunning. It was beautiful. The weather was nice. I'd love to live near a big city that has something that's, you know, less than an hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know, but I'm also looking at like places like Great Falls, Montana eventually. So I don't know. Maybe I don't want such a big city. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess with that job, I feel like you can kind of just go from station to station depending on where you want to live. Is that kind of like how it works?
From my understanding, and I've sold a lot of Border Patrol agents down here, so I've been picking their brains. And my next door neighbor is a client and Border Patrol. And I was asking him, like, so how does it work? So basically your first year is going to be on the Southwest border. Everyone starts out on like the Mexico border. And that's why they spend so much time teaching you Spanish. If you don't know it, they spend about 186 hours teaching you Spanish in a 9-month span or 3-month span. So,
How's your Spanish so far?
No bueno. Muy piquito español. I mean, I'm picking up like a few words here and there because when I'm at Domino's, I actually feel like I'm in Mexico. I already feel like I'm in Mexico being here in Laredo.
Mm-hmm.
But all my coworkers are Hispanic. All of my bosses are Hispanic. And so that's their native tongue and that's what they speak at work. So I kind of like tune it out. They may be talking like mad shit about me. I have no idea. But I just kind of tune it out and put my head down and work. And when they speak in English, I know they're addressing me. So as soon as English is is spoken, I'm like, oh,
you lift your head up.
Yeah.
Like a little squirrel.
Yep. So it's interesting. So I'm picking up a couple words here and there, but I'm really excited to be able to claim bilingualism. Like, mm-hmm. I can speak both languages. And then work my way up to like German and French and stuff like that. Speaking of Spanish, you're fluent, right? Would you call yourself fluent?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. And you, that's from your time serving your mission with your church.
Correct.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And where you served in Argentina?
Yeah. Yeah, it was Argentina, Bahia Blanca, south of Buenos Aires. So it's like the south part of Argentina,
where the penguins are.
Almost.
Almost. Yeah, almost.
Close, but no, I didn't see any, unfortunately.
Ah, that wasn't worth it then. I'm just kidding. tell me about your experience down in Argentina, and especially being a member of the Latter-day Saints. When you first touched down in Argentina, right, what was that like? That's what I want to hear about.
Yeah, so the first 2 weeks I was in the first 7.5 months I was in one area, and it was called Batán. It was a small city. I wouldn't even call it a city. It was like this tiny town outside of a big city. It was like an hour away from a big city.
Like a village, a suburban village.
Yeah, it was like a village. And the first 2 weeks was just full on, culture shock. Like I thought I knew like good enough Spanish. I go out there, it's a completely different dialect than what I was learning. And there's no pavement anywhere. Like there's no asphalt. Everything's mud.
Oh wow.
Every window has bars on it. Like houses have graffiti on them. And it was just full on culture shock from like coming from where I grew up, and I was like, oh my goodness, like this is crazy. And I went, I actually started there when it was in the middle of winter for them. And I was south enough where, it'd be absolutely freezing with like rain, and it was very windy.
No snow?
It snowed once.
Okay. Cause I know parts of Argentina, like on that southern part, they do get snow. Yeah, like people go down there.
It snowed once. And then, the summers are absolutely just insane, like over 100 degrees, super humid. Wow. So it's extremes for both.
Yeah.
Cold, extreme heat. So the first 2 weeks I was there, I don't even remember like seeing the sun, not to like sound dramatic, but it was just very dark, gloomy, but you just got to grind your teeth and get through it.
Yeah.
And then just like embrace it. Like you learn to just love like the reason why you're out there, which is, obviously spreading, religion to these, very humble people, and like, I'll never forget my experience there. Like it was something that I'll forever cherish. You met like the most amazing people, have nothing, they give you everything. It's like, wow, like everyone needs to be like that.
Well, and I actually, I try and do that down here because, I live in a neighborhood where there is a church, an LDS church just right down the road. And the missionaries live in an apartment. Like I'm in between the church and the apartments that they stay at.
Oh, you probably see them a lot.
And, I see them a lot on their bicycles, and every time I see them, I try and offer them something. Like if I have water, I give them water. If I have snacks, I give them snacks. April and I have even tried to have them over for dinner, but they were just too busy. That way I could feed them.
Yeah.
Most people don't know this, but it's not a vacation. Like when you're on a mission, from my understanding, you get sponsored or you pay out of pocket to go on these missions, correct?
Yeah, it's all out of pocket. You email your families once a week, and you get to Skype in on Christmas and Mother's Day.
No. We call that Zoom in now.
Sorry.
The verbiage has changed.
Yeah, it's Zoom now. No, but that was back when I was on the mission. So, they've since changed the rules. You can now, Zoom or Skype, whatever you want to call it. You can do that once a week now, I think, or even more. I'm not sure, but yeah, when I was there, it was for sure a mission, like full dedication, extremely focused, and limit distractions.
There's one part I wouldn't even call like envy, like the feeling that I have. It's admiration, and yeah, it kind of like a FOMO. Like I missed out on something. I'm not a member. I'm still like in the between of like atheism and being an agnostic. But I see the true like reason behind religion. And I admire the dudes that went out, you know, at 18 years old, right?
Yeah.
Usually you guys start at 18 and you go and work for a good cause. I mean, spreading the word of a good religion is nothing but good, and it'll only do good for people. Mm-hmm. And it also, but on top of that, it teaches you so much discipline. You know, the LDS Church is a very disciplined religion. And it's something to admire.
Yeah.
I think that's why a lot of you guys are really good at door to door, because door to door is not easy whatsoever. I mean, it can be rewarding.
Yeah. The mission definitely helped with that.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, you're going around selling the hardest commodity.
That's all you're doing. To sell. And you know, what's funny is in Argentina, you know, you don't knock doors. You clap outside and then they come outside. Like they don't.
No way.
Some houses won't. Really? Like some houses don't even have, you know, doors. On them. Yeah.
Wow. That is super interesting. I didn't know that. I've never been to Argentina. I've never been to South America. I've only been to Central and Mexico two times. That's cool.
Yeah. Amazing people.
That's awesome. And let me see. You studied that. You went to BYU. Did you go to BYU your whole college career?
No. So the first two semesters after my mission, I actually went to Salt Lake, the BYU Extension Center. That's what it's called. I mean, it's technically BYU, just like not on BYU campus.
Yeah, it's downtown Salt Lake City, right? That's the one right across the street from the Vivint Smart Home Arena.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
So I was there for two semesters. Okay. You know, I wasn't in high school. I just had fun. I didn't really focus on like anything but having fun. So, you know, I came home for my mission. Like, obviously didn't have, you know, the best grades to get into BYU. It's a very hard school to get into.
Without a doubt.
Competitive. Yeah. Amazing school.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Went to the Salt Lake Extension Center. Well, the BYU Extension. There for two semesters, and after that, I transferred to BYU.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's your do you have a favorite memory of your time in college?
I think honestly one of the best parts about being in college is just, you know, you're away from your family, you're on your own, and you're living with the bros. You know, every night. Yep. Is bro night. You know, you're having so much fun. You know, you're dating girls. It's an exciting time for everyone. It's so fun.
Yeah, I actually, my college experience was not like that. I didn't have the typical college experience. And actually, I think I can speak for many people at the University of Alaska Anchorage where I attended. It's just a very non-traditional campus as it is.
Mm-hmm.
They have dorms. They have like senior living, like townhomes and stuff like that. But a lot of people that went to UAA lived in Anchorage, like with their parents or had roommates or whatever.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Because you're so close. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they would just commute to school, you know, the 10 minute drive or whatever. And so, you know, I didn't live with like, I mean, I lived with a few fraternity brothers when I pledged a fraternity, but it wasn't like a frat house, right? Like we didn't have like this big building that all the bros lived at. And like, we all hung out and like did stuff together. We did that, but we just did that at, you know, differing houses and differing locations. But UAA is also a super small campus. And so, you know, you'd catch people there,
mm-hmm.
and hang out, right? But I feel like I didn't get the typical college experience, right? And in some ways, I wish I would have left state to go to school, because then I would have had a more traditional experience. Whereas like, I'm living in a dorm, you know, my roommate's 4 feet away from me in his bed, right? And like, you know, I'm just studying. But instead, I worked like three jobs. I had roommates soon, like I had, after the whole roommate ordeal, I had moved in with fraternity brothers and still had roommates. But no, I mean, it was still fun.
Yeah.
But I feel like I not that I missed out, you know, I had a great experience, but there's something to say about what, like, or something more powerful with what you just said. I was hanging out with the bros. It was bro time 24/7.
Yeah, it was still fun. I think it's always good to have fun. Like, no matter where you are in life, you know, you always need to make room to find something that you just love doing, whether that's, I don't know, gaming or, you know, playing sports. I feel like, or like starting a business, you know, there's always something that you should be doing that makes you happy.
Yeah. April never really had hobbies, and
yeah, hobbies are really good.
Super important. I have tons of them, right? I read, I write, I podcast. I did start a company. And you know, I work out. I think that's like, I call that a hobby because it's fun for me.
Yeah.
But April started doing like some of the MLM stuff. I think one of them was like, Chalk Couture, which is based out of Salt Lake City, I think. And she started getting into this whole crafting thing and loved it. And she's super creative. And
that's great.
Just, yeah, this past month, she got a Cricut cut for her birthday. Do you know what that is?
No, what is that?
It's like a, I wouldn't even call it a crafting device because it's just, it does so much, but it's basically like a cutting printer. I think like you can cut leather, like cuts different designs into leather, vinyl.
Oh, that's cool. I think I've seen those.
Super, super cool. And she's just been like, she just started her own boutique company, creating a bunch of stuff and selling it to people. And she just sold, she started it, I think a couple weeks ago. And the first day she got an order from New York State.
That's awesome.
On Etsy. Yeah. It was super cool. I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah. Like, it's great.
And she spends like most of her waking time doing that. And I think that is so healthy for, if you're not at work, do something that's like going to challenge you, inspire you, that you're going to be passionate about. And like spend your time progressing in that, developing yourself through that, right? Whether that be video games or anything like that, right? But find something. You know, I've known a lot of people throughout my life that just didn't have anything going on.
That's boring.
Like, hey man, what do you, bro? And I talk to a lot of people that I work with, right? That just don't really have any aspirations except they want to be rich. And I always ask them like, but for what purpose, right? Like, why do you want to amass wealth? And how are you going to do
it? Like, you don't do anything now with your life. What are you going to do when you're rich, you know?
Exactly. Right? Exactly. I mean, take a page from like the most exciting billionaire. Two of them, right? Elon Musk and Richard Branson, right? Those guys do so much. I mean, I think Richard Branson now does a lot. He just does a lot more because he's a really hands off of his businesses. But he just explores the world, right? It's like, that's what it should be for, right? You shouldn't just amass wealth for the sake of amassing wealth. I mean, I love Warren Buffett to death. I admire him, right? But the dude's wealthy for the sake of being wealthy. He admits it.
Yeah.
I like being wealthy, right? That's what he's passionate about. There's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like if you're not doing anything now that's exciting, $100 million, $200 million, $1 billion isn't going to make your life more exciting, right? You're just going to be richer and still a boring person. Pick something, find some enjoyment in it. And that way, instead of filling your time with binging Netflix or just sitting around doing nothing, right? Like a lot of people scroll on social media nonstop.
Yeah.
I catch myself occasionally doing that. I'm like, I'm not even paying attention to what is in front of me. I'm just double clicking and scrolling. Like, it's like, this is nonsense. And I'll put my phone down and pick up a book or, you know, pull up a newsletter or something like that. It's, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier, being so connected, we have all of the world's knowledge at our fingertips. And we use it to look at women that are doing duck faces and we watch cat videos. Like, how ironic. I think Socrates was even alluding to that. If you don't know who Socrates is, he's like basically the Jesus of philosophers. Or like that's the equivalent of who he is.
Yeah.
Right. He is the philosopher. And he never wrote any of his philosophies down. Instead, he'd go into the marketplace or go around town and just talk to people. He'd question them. And when people would ask him, why don't you write these thoughts down? He goes, it'd be tainted. If I wrote it down, right, then anyone could really have access to it and spend my words, or we wouldn't rely so much on our mental capacity and our mental capabilities.
Yeah, smart man.
It's so true now. I mean, look at it. Right? I can barely remember anything unless I write it down. And even then I got to find where I wrote it down at. Right. And it's just, it's nuts. It's nuts to think about the blessing and the curse of technological innovation and how we change and adapt with it.
I think, like, from my standpoint, I think technology is a good thing. You know, I'm sure you can agree with me on that. Yeah. Same thing with, like,
100%.
You know, like modern medicine. Like, I think these are all like amazing tools that we have, and we have to take advantage of them.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's where I mean, you're just making my point stronger, right?
Yeah.
We don't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I think most people
lose,
don't.
You know,
right?
They use it and lose like productivity, or like what you were saying, like they lose hobbies or
never develop hobbies. Like I actually fear the future generations, because we're ever so more boxing ourselves in with technological innovation, in a sense, right? We're more connected to the world, but more disconnected to our communities, our immediate communities, because of it. And with the introduction of virtual reality, augmented reality, it's going to advance to the point where, like, you know, we're going to be in an episode of Black Mirrors where we're so connected, and we rely on it so much, and we rely on it so much now, but we'll rely on it even more going forward in the future. And it, not to like be like a kook, right? An Alex Jonesian, but it's just like, I mean, it's scary. It's scary to think about how, less self-reliant we're going to be in the future, and our kids mainly, and our kids' kids. And there's going to be those that take advantage of it, right? Like the social media influencers you see nowadays, right? Those kids are smart, right? When they took advantage of a situation where they know, okay, most people on and off are going to spend time, their free time, on social media. It's just a habit. It's something that people do. I can capitalize on this, and I can monetize it and turn it into a full blown business, turn myself into a personality that people are either going to relate to or find entertaining. And I can just constantly be pushing a feed that people can tap into and see what's going on in my life. You know, it's escapism. It's taking advantage of escapism.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, right? It's just,
no.
What are the consequences of that 20 years from now, 30 years from now, right?
Like, well, yeah, I feel like, you know, getting out of the norm would be, you know, going on a hike with your kids, or, you know, going to the beach, you know,
or hunting or something like that.
Yeah, like something outdoorsy where you don't need technology.
Man, that is something I miss about Alaska. And ultimately, I'd love to, like, when I retire, right, whenever that is, I will have property in Alaska, because that's what I used to do on a weekly basis. I go hike.
Yeah.
I go find a different mountain and go, I point to it and I go, I'm going to climb that today, or I'm going to climb that one today. And that's something that I think is beautiful about nature and being outdoors. Unfortunately, here in Laredo, the only place you can hike, you're going to get shot at by ICE or Border Patrol. So
that's funny.
Yeah. You can't really hike back there, although there's some decent hills over there.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's not very safe. So to kind of like bookend this and finish off this episode, where do you see yourself in 5 years? You're going to be in California, I'm assuming. Find a career maybe in the medical field or in medical sales, or something like that. Where do you see the trajectory going forward?
Yeah. And I'm a huge, like visionary guy and like very ambitious, but in 5 years, like I can confidently say that, you know, I'd like to have my own company, whether that's like, you know, owning nursing homes or something in the tech industry or, you know, something that I'm truly passionate about that's, you know, fulfilling to me, you know, in my life. So I feel like in 5 years, obviously, you know, Morgan and I will have a kid, maybe even less than 5 years.
Maybe. Is she pregnant now?
No, she's not. She's not pregnant now.
Oh, okay.
I'd let you know if she was, but she's not.
I would hope I'd be looped in.
Yeah, maybe even two kids by then. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And yeah, hopefully in California. And just try to be with family as much as we can.
That's awesome, man. It's awesome. Well, I appreciate you being on this podcast. I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, this was fun. We'll have to do it again.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And yeah, this is episode. Thanks, man. This is episode 49.
Wow.
For the podcast. Yeah. So, you know, make sure you tell your friends and everybody to click on subscribe.
Yeah. It's only going up from here.
Only. Yeah. I mean, my streams I'm now listened to in 14 countries.
Oh, really? That's cool. How many people listen on them?
I don't know like how many people are there, but I'm getting between 30 and 40 listens per episode.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a nobody. So the fact
that. Well, don't
say that. Well, I mean, I'm Lakota. Yeah. But I mean, relatively speaking in the podcast world, right. It's heavily saturated. I'm a mere ant compared to the praying mantis of the world of podcasters. So, but I'm growing. It's been a really fun experience and I get to have really cool people on like you, and you know, have a little bit more diverse conversations than I usually do here in Laredo.
Yeah. Well, so. I'm stoked for you in April.
Thanks, man. Stoked for all of us. You guys are going to kill it in life. You guys are awesome. Probably the two, coolest couple I've ever hung out with.
Thanks, so, man.
Yeah. We always and the most fashionable. Thanks. You guys are the most fashionable too. You take the number one spot for that.
I like that.
Yeah. Without a doubt. I don't know if you have anything to plug, like if you want people to follow your socials or plug your, the company you work for, anything like that, we can leave off with there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a guru or anything, but if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can.
Okay. What's your tagline?
I think it's just Connor Donahue. I think that's all it is.
Mr. Donahue. I love your last name. I think it's the coolest last name ever. Okay, so just Connor Donahue at Instagram. Are you on Twitter, Facebook?
Not really. I mean, I tweet, but it's like just political stuff. Nothing.
Yeah,
nothing,
don't follow that.
Yeah,
one. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, don't follow that.
That's all the Twitter sphere is about now. It's just like Donald Trump did this, Obama did that, Biden did this. It's like okay, all right, okay. I'm so neutral. It's hard for me to be on Twitter. I started a Twitter page for the podcast and I don't tweet because I don't have an opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I have opinions, but it's like, okay, but people get really passionate. I don't know if you're on there. I don't follow you on Twitter, but I don't know how passionate you are about your political speech, but hey, you know, that's what Twitter's for.
That's right.
Well, awesome, man. Again, thank you so much for being on and, yeah, we'll just get to the outro now.
Yeah. Thanks, Lakota. I appreciate it. Tell your brother.
Absolutely. I will. All right, Contians. That's all we got for you today. I hope you all enjoyed. Please like and subscribe wherever you found this and be sure to turn on notifications so that you never miss a new one each Wednesday and Sunday. For your CBD needs, visit us at Philosophers Apothecary at philosapothecary.com. We are offering free shipping on all U.S. orders during COVID. And starting tomorrow for Memorial Day. It'll be 20% off of all oils. So be sure to get your supply while the prices are low. You'll use coupon Memorial. Visit me at my website, iCan'tEvenPodcast.com, and on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. All links will be down in the description. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the weekend, and I'll chat with y'all next time. Peace.